here.
Hello.
Hi, sweetheart. You're the only one I've got so far.
Oh, good. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Hodu Lashem Kito. Zuki Leolam Chasto. Oh, good. Yes. Jody's there. Good. Wonderful.
This is Jody.
Hello, Jody. How are you doing, my love?
Hanging in there.
Yeah, he's
there.
Oh, gosh.
Still struggling on the planet. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I love you, yeah. Can I tell you?
Thank you.
Yeah, I really, 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 really love you.
Thank you, Yudita. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's
a hard time.
It's a hard time. But he's a hero. He's tough. He's really tough.
Yeah.
He's a tough guy.
And well, he got a beautiful daughter.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. We'll learn for him. We'll do our study dedicated to him today.
Great. Sure. Excellent.
Yeah. Okay.
Excellent.
Yeah, definitely. Hi, Lisa. I can see you're there. It's a miracle. It's a wonderful miracle. Oh, Lisa, did I send you the material? Hello? Lisa? Wait a minute.
I'm going to turn my speaker off because maybe it'll be easier.
No, it's okay, sweetheart. Lisa, darling? Hello? Did I send you the material? I might have forgotten to. I might well have forgotten to. Okay. I'll just send some material. Oops, that was a bit silly, wasn't it? Life. Okay, we've got almost everybody. Dina, I can't find Dina for some reason. Dina connecting is always interesting.
All right.
Thanks. All right.
Bye-bye. Okay. Lisa, I just sent you some material in the email. Okay. And Amy, where's Amy? Amy should be there. You there, lovey?
Oh.
Yeah, Amy's there. Good. So we've got Lisa, we've got Mia, we've got Jody. We're going to learn for Jody's father, who's having a difficult passage.
Okay, this is Amy, and I'm on board.
That's great. Okay, wonderful. Thank you, love. And the only one I'm missing now, who should be there, is Dina. So I'm going to add her in. Okay, so it's 3 o'clock now. All right, sweetheart. Lisa, I sent you on the email. I'm awfully sorry I didn't think to send it earlier. Nutty as a fruitcake, as they say. I can't hear you, sweetheart. I love you. I can see you. You can hear me. Okay, I just can't hear you. All right. Okay, well, never mind. I'll bear in mind that you might not have the material. All right, it's on your email anyhow. Sorry.
And I'm going to mute myself until I need to speak because I have the window open and it's a lot of traffic.
Oh, I actually can't hear that. So I think you're okay. Now. Right.
Well, this high school is letting out.
Oh, all right. Yes. Well, then there will be noise. Yeah. My kids used to go to that school. And jolly lovely it was for them. Okay. Yeah. Right. So. I'm going to open the tefillah that we say. And my heart is with Elimelech ben Rivka v'Yosef, the father of Jody.
And, amen.
Yeah, and...
Thank you.
With all my heart. And may he have a smooth, easy, peaceful... come to a place of peace in his journey forwards. come to a place of healing, of in every possible sphere.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yudita?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Dina. I'm here.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, lovey. Ribon olamim v'adonai adonim, av rachaman v'slichot, modim anachnu lefanecha adonai eloheinu v'leavutenu, bekida v'shtachavaya, שכרבתנו לתורתך ולבדתך ולבדת הקודש, ונתת לנו חלק בסודות תורתך הקדושה, מה אנו מחיינו, אשר עשית עמנו חסד גדול כזה. על כן אנחנו מפילים תחנוננו לפניך.
שתמחול ותסלח לכל חטאותינו ועוונותינו, ועלו עוונותינו מבדילים בינינו לביניך. וכן יהיו עצון מלפניך, אדוני אלוהינו ולאבותינו, שתכונן את לבבנו לראותך ולאהבתך, ותקשיב אוזניך לדברינו אלה, ותפתח לבבנו הערל בסודות תורתך, ולימודנו זה נחת רוח לפני כסא כבודך כרך ניחוח, תציל עלינו אור מקור נשמתנו בכל בחינתנו, שיתנוצצו ניצוצות עבדיך הקדושים, אשר על ידם גלית דבריך אלה בעולם, וזכותם וזכות אבותם, וזכות תורתם ותמימותם וקדושתם, יעמוד לנו לבל נקשר בדברים אלו. ובזכותם תהיה עינינו במה שאנו לומדים, כמה מענאים זמירות ישראל, גליני ואבית הנפלאות מתורתך, כי אדוני ייתן חוכמה מפי דת ותבונה, יהיו לו רצון עם היפי, וגאון לבי לפניך, אדוני צורי וגואלי. Master of the universe and Lord of lords, Father of mercy and of forgiveness, we give thanks before you, O Lord, our God and God of our fathers, through bowing the head and prostrating ourselves, that you have brought us close to your Torah and to your service, the holiest of services, and grant us a portion in the inner meanings of your holy Torah. What are we, and what is our life, that you have done for us such a great loving kindness as this? So we lay our supplication before you, that you pardon and forgive all our sins and iniquities, and please do not let our iniquities separate us from you. And may it be your will, O Lord our God and God of our fathers, that you prepare our heart to have awe of you and love of you. And may your ears listen to these our words. And may our uncircumcised heart open in the inner meanings of your Torah. And may this learning please give a pleasure before the throne of your glory as a sweet smelling smell. And may you bestow upon us the light of the source of our soul in all our aspects. And may the sparks of your holy servants, through whom you revealed these your words into the world, and their merit, and the merit of their fathers, and the merit of their Torah, their perfection and their holiness, stand by us, that we do not stumble in these words. And through their merit, enlighten our eyes in what we are learning. As the sweet singer of Israel said, open our eyes, that we may look in the wonders of your Torah. For the Lord grants wisdom from his mouth, knowledge and understanding. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be forever acceptable before you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
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 Amen. Okay. Now, we actually stopped at a piece that I said we were going to look at again, which was about, it's on page 24 in the Hebrew, for those who've got the Hebrew, Lisa, I do apologize. If you want to find it, you can actually just make your Skype go small, you know what I mean, just put it down to the toolbar, it won't switch off, and you can go to your email and open it at the same time. The Skype won't switch off unless you actually switch it off. So you don't have to, but if you're nervous of doing that, then don't. Okay, and I'm going to translate into English so that there should not be any problem.
So you've sent it to us recently in an email?
No, I just sent it to Lisa. This is material you've already got, and Lisa's joining the class today. And I forgot completely the whole issue of sending her material, so I apologize. But everybody else has already got this material.
This is have what you received in the past.
Have you sent it in English or just in Hebrew?
You've got it in both.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And we're talking about the way in which the Torah is acquired. Okay. Now, you probably don't remember because it was way before Pesach. You know, and then we went to learning about Pesach and Seder night and things. So it's way before Pesach, about a whole month ago when we actually learned this last. So just to recap, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot says that the way of Torah is eating bread with salt, drinking only water according to a measure, sleeping on the ground, and living a life of sorrow. Okay? Laboring in Torah. And if you do so, happy will you be, and you will, and it will be well for you in the Psalms. You will be happy in this world, and it will be well for you in the world to come. And Rabbi Aschlag asked this incredible question, which was, okay, you can understand how it could be well for us in the world to come, but in what possible way could it be happy for us to live a life like that in this world? Okay, and he also asked, what is the difference between the other wisdoms of the world, which you can just acquire by studying them? What's special about Torah that study alone isn't enough? Okay. Then came the masters of the Gemara, who then changed it. Did we do that bit? I'm not sure. No, we didn't. Okay. And then we looked at the piece from the Tosefet in Ketuvot, that when Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, was dying, he raised all his 10 fingers to heaven, and he said, Master of the universe, it is you well know before you that I labored with all my 10 fingers in Torah, and I did not allow even my littlest finger to enjoy. And the Tosafot there says, that before a person prays that he brings Torah into himself, he should pray that he doesn't bring luxuries into himself. Because this form of receiving for oneself alone is the opposite of holiness. And it actually increases the more one feeds it. Now, that was the summary of what we did last time, actually. And there's a lot in there. I mean, there's so much in there about our lives in the modern day, about our lives in reality, what's our relationship to material things, what do we really need as to what we think we need. It's a very complex issue nowadays. Definitely, I was talking to a friend of mine who said that the Biala Rebbe, who she's very connected with, there's apparently few of them, so I'm not quite sure which particular Biala Rebbe this one is, but the Biala Rebbe who she's particularly connected with says this is the most amazing generation because never has there ever been such a generation which is tempted by so many distractions from Torah as this particular generation. So much overwhelming with materialism and material goods and with very little guidance of how to handle it all. And therefore, anybody who manages to do anything in Torah, anything in spirituality, in this generation doesn't really understand, you know, what a great thing they're doing. He said, just think back. He said, if you were in the shtetl, you know, you lived your life in the shtetl, you managed with what you had, and that was it. I mean, the whole of society, you didn't have that many choices to start off with. And in a sense, life was, in a sense, easier. Okay. And I don't know if any of you have read, but a wonderful book by Natan Sharansky on his life in as a Soviet prisoner.
Yeah, Fear No Evil.
Yes. Yeah.
That's amazing. Amazing
book.
It's
an amazing, amazing, amazing book, and really, really, really worth every moment spent reading it. And at the end of the book, I mean, he reached, you know, of course, you know, existence, you know, where Pat Belechem Tochav, Alain Bemishurash Tishteve, Al Ha'aretz Tishan, you know, eating bread with salt and water in only rationed and sleeping on the floor. He did it absolutely. I mean, that was absolutely what he had to do. And in that situation, he chose to go on a hunger strike because they had taken away his little book of Tehillim that his wife Avital had given to him before she left Israel, before she left Russia for Israel. So, I mean, it's just like, you know, it's mind-boggling. How Mesirus Nefesh for you know, we think, you know, how can we you know, live like that? What will be? What will happen? And here is somebody who actually did that in our day. Also, Yossi Mendelevich, if you get to read his story, again, very powerful story of he was also a prisoner in the prison camp in at one point in the same one as Natan Sharansky, I believe. He was came from a more religious background and had more knowledge of halakha than Natan Sharansky had, and he knew the rules of kashrut, and he did not take any leniency for himself. There he was in a prison camp, a Soviet prison camp, where they were on starvation rations to begin with, and if the bowl of soup, if the cauldron of soup that was, you know, they had one hot meal a day, and if the cauldron of soup had meat in it, he didn't eat it. And it's just like mind-boggling. Of course, you know, he could have said pikuach nefesh, and he would have been definitely within the bounds of halacha, and yet he didn't. So This striving for God, this striving for connection with God, as opposed to feeding the material aspects of ourselves, is definitely something that's brought out in this Mishnah. And not only that, but the Tosefet in the Gemara really points out that the more we indulge in luxuries, the less we are able to come to Kedusha. We come to holiness. So I think it's something that, you know, somebody made a message, but I don't know what it said, sorry. Okay, one second, I'll just see what the message said. Sorry, I'm not able to talk, I have a question. Okay, what about the Talmudic adage that says we are accountable for what we do not enjoy in this world? Interesting, wow, Lisa. Yes, it's a balance, isn't it? That's a very powerful question. I want to relate to that. Thank you. I think the whole issue is holiness. What is my purpose in enjoyment? Is my purpose in enjoyment to inquire more at the expense of holiness? Or is it the enjoyment about thanking God and being grateful to God for what we do receive? Because if we think about Avraham Avinu was wealthy in the end. He had lots of, he had lots of camels and lots of sheep and lots of servants and lots of everything. And he was really wealthy. But his wealth was in order to give thanks and glory and happiness to God. Likewise, Rabbi Yehuda, who held up his 10 fingers and said, I did not enjoy in this world, none of my fingers enjoyed in this world. But what he means is he actually was, Rabbi Yehuda was in fact a rich man. But what he means is he didn't take it for himself alone. He didn't use it to expand his material aspect of himself. Now, for most of us who are not up to that level of being able to use material ways in this good way, I think it's interesting for us to look at the Mishnah and to see where's the breaks. After all, we live in this very materialistic society. Where's the breaks? Where's the stops? Where's the limits? And it's not an easy thing at all. If we go back to the text, I think the word guf is in fact a powerful clue to this whole story. Because the word guf does not actually just refer to the physical body, but it also refers to the mental and emotional and even spiritual body. Because any of those elements can be elements in uncleanness. Okay? So we've got the physical body where a person can just, go into gourmet eating and, luxury foods and things. We've got the emotional body where a person gets emotionally attached to material issues. I think that happens a lot. I notice it in myself sometimes. And I have to pull myself up and start and say, Yedida, where are you? I think mentally we get involved with material joys, and especially through the internet now, through distracting ourselves, getting more and more information just for the pleasure of it. And even spiritually, a person can learn Torah for very wrong reasons. I think any, because he wants to, get honor or fame or something like that. So there's the word goof here. I think it's not just physical. I think it relates to all those aspects. Now, the simcha that Lisa brought up, in the simcha is actually refers to the joy of the mitzvah. Like when you're receiving something through through true joy is because you know that that's what God wants to give you. Like, for example, the meals on Yom Tov, the new clothes on Yom Tov. It's because God wants us to enjoy the great light of Yom Tov, also through the physical, as well as through the material. So there's definitely a different, as well as through the spiritual. So, but again, you know, one's got to, you know, have seichel with it. The point of Yom Tov isn't, or Shabbos, is not to eat, you know, huge meals such that we will fall asleep for the rest of the afternoon, and you can't learn any Torah. That would be an awful waste. So yes, we're meant to enjoy, but again, you know, not to the place of attachment. And that's what Rabbi Ashlag is talking about, why he brings this up, that that therefore a person needs to pray that before he brings luxuries and delights into his body, and let's widen that to the widest possible physical, mental, and emotional, spiritual wills to receive for ourselves alone, he should, before he brings Torah in, he should not bring in those, you know, give to those aspects of himself. And he says, according to most of the work in Torah and Mitzvot, we find that very slowly we transform this form of receiving to the form of giving. And that's actually where we got up to last time. We actually started the next paragraph, but we said we were going to start from here again. Okay. Now. Okay, great. So Lisa found that a good answer. Thanks. Any further questions? That was a brilliant question. Any other questions?
Yedida, this is Mia. It's not a question, but sometimes I have to translate things and make them more simple for myself. And what I found myself thinking when you were saying that was, it's really about enjoying God more than anything else.
I think that's so beautiful, yes.
It's okay to enjoy everything and anything as long as you enjoy God more than that thing.
Or you enjoy the abundance that God gives you, yes.
Yes.
Yes, that you acknowledge that it's from God and that you give thanks, and it's another opportunity to give thanks and another opportunity to rejoice in him.
Yes. Yes. And I've found from time to time, I won't go into any details, but people are actually uncomfortable with my level of gratitude throughout my life of various people in various times. And I'm thinking, wow. It's either something you have innately and you can't imagine not having it, or you don't. I don't know that. I mean, you can cultivate gratitude, but the sense that you're connected and that God really is giving you stuff, I don't know you can just go out and get it.
I think it's slowly. I think that it's not, there are some people, like you say, who have it innately, who born, and Rabbi Ashlag talks about that, but most of us are not born like that, and most of us need to transform our will to receive very slowly through the practice of Torah and Mitzvot, and it's a slow process for most of us, but it's definitely acquirable.
Yeah. And what I meant to say was, life has a way of teaching us that in through hardship and loss, etc. But the habit, it's a habit. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a habit of enjoying God more than anything else. That's what I'm saying.
I think one of the most important rules of Torah and Mitzvot is fake it till you can make it.
Yeah.
Great.
It's true. Yeah. It's absolutely true. For me, lo lishma yavo lishma. From not for its own sake, you will get to its own sake. Okay?
Yes. Yes.
So somebody's calling me, but if I answer it, I will lose everybody else. So I'm not... Have we lost somebody? Who have we lost? I don't know. Everybody's here. Okay. Oh, Jody. We've lost Jody. Oh, gosh. Let me add Jody back in again. There you go. I hope she picks it up. Right. So, yeah, fake it till you can make it. So thank you. And being aware of abundance and thanking God for abundance is really, really, really important. So, okay, let me just try and send Jody a message. Oops, that won't help. Jody here. Okay. Skype can be quite tricky. All right. Now. Right. So let's add Jody back in again. If I answer Jody like that, everybody else will disappear. Right, okay, let's just keep trying till she gets it. All right, now then. The next bit is... And now, what we said last time is it, Rav Ashla continues straight on. And he says, V'az, achar shekvar yitragel bezeh, וכבר אין רצון לקבל הנאה כלשהי לעצמו. אפשר מעטה לעסוק בתורה ולקיום המצוות. גם כן בדרך הזו, תחיינו בכדי להשפיע נחת רוח ליוצרו ולא להנאת עצמו במשהו. So now we've got this whole lifetime, and I would say several lifetimes, all squidged into one sentence. And he said, after he's already used to this, and he's no longer got in his makeup, his body, his physical, mental, emotional makeup, any desire at all to receive himself at all for himself. Now, from now on, he can occupy himself with Torah and fulfill this mitzvah also in this way. Okay. Hi, Jody. I see you back.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, sweetheart. Okay, all right. Okay, great. So if you've muted your mic, that's fine. Yeah, lovely. Thank you, darling. Okay, also in this way. That is, in order to give pleasure to the Creator and not to himself or anything. Now, as we said, I mean, that's a lifetime of work. Jody, sweetheart, can you mind muting your mic?
Yes.
Okay, thanks, sweetie.
Could you repeat your last statement, because it's a lot of background noise?
Yeah, it was a bit noisy. Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
No problem. It happens, sweetie. So he says, after we've already done this, and in the body, the physical, mental, emotional body, there is no desire to receive oneself at all. After this, it's possible to occupy, to practice Torah and fulfill the mitzvot in order to give pleasure to the Creator and not to receive anything for oneself. And when he does this, then he merits to taste the happy and full true life filled with all good and joy without any defect of sorrow at all, which is revealed in the practice of Torah and mitzvot for its own sake. As Rabbi Meir says, whoever occupies himself with Torah for its own sake merits many things. And not only that, but the whole world is worthwhile for him. So this is amazing. Like, we just talked about, are people born like this, or do they have to cultivate it? It's a lifetime's work, or Gilgulim, you know, incarnations, to get to this place where we are absolutely have let go of our will to receive from selves alone. Now, why is it such a big job? Why is it so huge? And the reason is that since Adam and Eve ate from the apple of the garden in the Garden of Eden, there has been built in to the human being a basic nature of receiving for himself alone. What we now in the modern time would call the ego. Okay? Now, I've been learning this incredible information called the presence process. In which it basically says that this, from what I'm understanding, is the will to receive oneself alone is by and large imprinted in us as an emotional imprinting when we're actually very, 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 very young. And it's like a baton in the relay race. Our parents hand on to us quite unconsciously, because of course they only want our best. At least consciously, they only want our best. So they unconsciously hand on to us emotional imprinting of the will to receive for themselves, of ourselves alone, and we pick it up from our parents. And if we look at their lives, then they picked it up from their parents, and so on and so forth. Okay? So we get this imprinting with the will to receive oneself alone. And it's the reason why we have it is because the human being has a job to do in the cosmic universe that no other creature, either physical or spiritual, has at all to do. And that is to complete the work of creation. Now, God created two systems, two frameworks in creation. One is the framework of holiness, and one is the framework of uncleanness. How that came about is something we'll learn at another time. Right now, we're just going to realize that that's what was meant to be. Now, if we were all born in the Garden of Eden, in the original state that Adam was born in, okay, or brought into being in, he was actually brought into being in the framework of holiness only. All right? And that was not a state in which he could actually do the work he's meant to do. And that was what Eve realized. When she reached out and ate the apple, she realized that this was the destiny of Adam and herself in the Garden of Eden, to transform this will to receive ourselves alone and bring that into holiness also. But it was just too big a task for her. It was too big a task for Adam. And it was meant to be this way. It was meant to be that the result was that they ate from the tree of knowledge, of good and evil, and this will to receive themselves alone caused this soul, the one soul that they had, to split into all the human community. And each one of us has our piece to correct and to work on. Okay? Now, when we've actually done that, says Rabbi Ashlag, then we actually get to taste this incredibly happy life filled with all good and joy, without any sorrow at all, which exists in this world just the way it is. And this is revealed through the practice of Torah and mitzvot for its own sake.
And this is what Rabbi Ashlag writes. כמו שרבי מאיר אומר, כל העוסק בתורה לשמה זוכה לדברים הרבה, ולא עוד אלא שכל העולם כולו כדאי הוא לו. נקרא רע, אהוב, אוהב את המקום, אוהב את הבריות, משמח את המקום, משמח את הבריות, ומלבשתו ענווה ויראה, ומחשרתו להיות צדיק, חסיד, ישר ונאמן, ומרחקתו מן החטא, ומקרבתו לידי זכות, ונהנים ממנו עצה ותושייה, בינה וגבורה, שנאמר לי עצה ותושייה, אני בינה לי גבורה, ונותנת לו מלכות וממשלה וחוגו דין, ומגלין לו רזי תורה, ונעשה כמעיין המתגבר וכנהר שאינו פוסק, והווה צנוע ואורך רוח, ומוכל על עלבונו, ומגדלתו ומוממותו על כל המעשים. Rabbi Meir says, whoever occupies himself with Torah for its own sake merits many things. And not only that, but the whole world is worthwhile for him. He feels great, okay? Because I think, Mia, you know, when you told how you are just naturally giving thanks, the joy in your voice was overwhelming. Was so beautiful, okay? Because that's it. When you're really being able to do it, you become filled with joy, and you see the joy and goodness in it all. He's called a friend. He's called beloved. He loves God. He loves his fellow creatures. He gives joy to God. He gives joy to the created beings. He's clothed in humility and reverence for God. He's fitting to be a tzaddik. That is somebody who justifies God. He's a chassid, a pious man, an upright man, a faithful man. He's kept far from sin, and he brought close to good deeds. Others enjoy from him good counsel, fortitude, understanding, and might, or courage. As it says, I have courage and fortitude, or counsel and fortitude. I am Bina. I am understanding and Gevura, a courage. Governance and sovereignty is given to him, and inquiry into judgment. There's revealed to him the secrets of the Torah, and he becomes like a overwhelming fountain and like a river which doesn't cease. And he's modest and long-suffering and forgives his insult, and he's magnified and exalted over all deeds.
Yadira?
Yeah.
This is me again, and I just appreciate you guys indulging me for a moment. I think one reason I was all hyped up about this today is because I got up really early and I was listening to Rabbi Jonathan Sacks recording on YouTube, and that's I won't beautiful. Want to read you guys something because I want to interrupt Rabbi Ashlag for just a second because this is so perfect. Another voice still on this earth at this time. If we forget that Judaism is a religion of love, then we forget what Judaism is. Judaism is the first and greatest civilization built on the concept of love. Judaism is the story of God's love for humanity and God's love for us. Our three loves. One, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. Two, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And three, to love the stranger.
That's beautiful, Mia. Thank you very much for sharing that.
When I listen to Rabbi Ashlag, what a privilege to have you translating.
I realized that he's saying different words and he's talking on a deep, deep, deep level, but he's really saying this.
Yes, he is. Totally.
It's like, get a grip, people. This is about love.
It's I have to tell you that, I mean, that was what attracted me to Rabbi Ashlag from the very beginning.
Yeah.
When you look in the, his writings, when you look in the Zohar, in the Perush HaSulam, and you look in his writings, he repeats the same ideas in so many tens of thousands of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, I studied medicine when I was younger, and you don't see that in any other field. You know, when you're studying medicine, or any field, you know, they refer you back to something. They say, go look over there, or they give you references, and you have to go and look them up. Rabbi Ashlag just writes it out again and again and again, every time from a different perspective, every time from a different angle. Now, if that's not love, what is? The feeling of love just pouring out of this material is incredible to me.
Yes, exactly.
And I think you're right. I mean, the Rabbi Meir says, whoever occupies himself with Torah for its own sake merits many things, and the whole world is worth it for him. And he's telling us what you get when you reach that place of love. And Rabbi Ashlag is telling us that before we can get there, we need to let go of the disconnection between ourselves and God, which is caused by the wrong connections that we make with the aspects of the goof, of the material, physical, and emotional things, because we're all looking for love. I think everybody on the planet is looking for love, and we're looking for the love that we got when we were children, or the love that we should have got when we were children. We're looking for the love that we received when we were up in Olam Haba, before we came down. So we're all looking for that love. And we get confused where we're going to find it. And Rabbi Ashlag is saying, well, you know, a physical, you know, the will to receive for itself alone is a temporary light which can give satisfaction for a tiny bit, but it can't give you that true love, which is to be found when we are truly connected with God. And since God is a giver, we have to let go of our receiving mentality and become givers too. And how do we do that? It's through Torah and Mitzvot. Ve'alav ha'katuv omer, and on this the scripture says, Ta'amu u'ru'u ki tov Hashem, taste and see that God is good. K'mevu'a la'ayil, as is explained above. Sha'to'em tam ha'esek b'Torah mitzvot lishma, hu ha'zochev ro'eh ba'atzmo et kavanat ha'bri'ah, shirak le'itiv l'niv'av, ki midrach ha'tov le'itiv. והוסס ושמח במספר שנות החיים שניק לו השם יתברך, וכל העולם כולו כדאי לו. And on this the scripture says, taste and see that God is good, as is explained above, that whoever tastes the taste of the practice of Torah and mitzvot for its own sake, merits and sees for himself the intention of creation, that is only to give goodness to the created beings, for it is in the way of the good to do good. And he's happy and grateful and rejoicing, for the number of years of his life that God has granted him, and all the world is worth it. The whole world is worth it to him. So when we actually reach this place of joy in God, love in God, which we get through, how we actually get there is through the practice of Torah mitzvot. First, like fake it till you can make it, and then through its own sake, we will get to this place of true love, true joy, true abundance. Okay. And then it says, taste and see that God is good, that he conceive himself, the intention of the creation is actually only to give good to the created beings. Now, this is so hard for us. This happens, that happens, this we cry about, that we cry about. Okay? This I made a mistake on, this I should have done, da 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 da. Okay. And in fact, one of the most beautiful articles that I learnt on Pesach was that how much our mistakes are also God. In fact, our mistakes, he actually says, Bo el Paro, come to Pharaoh. And Rabbi Ashlag writes in a letter, Bo el Paro, Gilui Shechina, that Pharaoh himself is the revelation of the Shekhinah. And you're like, my God, how can Pharaoh be the revelation of the Shekhinah? And what Rabbi Ashlag is saying is something extremely powerful. He said that, because the Pasuk continues, in order that I should place my signs and my wonders, okay, and it's in order that we get a desire for God. And we should know that even our mistakes, also our mistakes, also the places we separated from God, are also coming from God. Because only that way can we truly see how far away we are and how much we really long for God. And ultimately, when we know that, then there is only goodness. But to actually, it's one thing to read it in a letter, it's another thing to feel it in your kishkas. Okay. Any more, any ideas, questions, feelings, thoughts? No? All right. Ata tavin et shnei hatzadim shebamatbea shel ha'esek b'Torah mitzvot. Now you can understand the two sides of the coin of the practice in Torah mitzvot. Oh gosh, somebody got lost on... Ki betzad echad. Yeah, Jody again. Ki betzad echad. All right. I lost my place, sorry. Okay, so now you can understand the two sides in the coin of the practice in Torah mitzvot. Because one way is the way of Torah, that is the great preparation that a person needs to prepare and purify his will to receive before he can actually merit to the essence of the actual fulfillment of Torah and mitzvot. In other words, it's a process, okay? It's definitely a process. And I think really, you know, we have to really have the goal, okay, which we aim for, which we get through Chagim and Shabbatot, the festivals and Shabbos. And then we've also got to have the knowledge that the 6 days of the week, the working week, is the process where we go up, we go down, we move in, we move out, we get it, we lose it. Okay? And it's And that's actually what we need to what we need to do. Okay, so to realize that when we talk about the way of Torah, we're talking about the process of preparation before we get to the actual essence of the fulfillment of Torah mitzvot. And so then he says, "V'as bechach she'osek b'Torah mitzvot shelo lishma, ela b'tarovet shelatzon la'anat atzmo, sh'rei adayin lo yispik lezakech ulatehet gufo me'ratzon lekabel hana'ot mehevle olam hazeh." ובעת הזאת מוטל עליו לחיות חייצר לעמול בתורה, כנל בפרקי אבות. So he says, now, of course, somebody who hasn't got there yet, and he's still got a whole muddle inside of himself with a will to receive himself alone, and he's trying to do Torah mitzvot for its own, not for its own sake, and he hasn't managed yet to purify his body. He's somebody who's really got to be extra careful with receiving the enjoyment from the nonsense of this world. Okay? And then, really and truthfully, he says, "Mutal alav lechiyot chayitza la'amol b'torah." Then it's better for him to let go, to really concentrate on his spiritual purpose and to put the wills to receive himself alone to aside. As it says in Pirkei Avot. Achen achar shegama vishlim et darkah shel Torah, ukvar zikech et gufo v'ratzon lekabel atzmo, hu mukshar lekagem et haTorah v'mitzvot lishma, bechdei lashpi nachat ruchli yotzo. And once he's actually done and fulfilled his whole preparation, and he's completely purified his vessel, all right, which is the will to receive himself alone, which is going to be the vessel that he's going to be using in the path of goodness, then he is absolutely fitting to fulfill the Torah mitzvot for his own sake. And now he's going to use his purified vessel, okay, the very same vessel that he was using to be separate from God, he's going to be using that to actually serve God with. I mean, his basic personality is not going to change. His basic circumstances probably won't change either, but he's going to use what he's got in a very different way. Okay? And I think that answers goes back to Lisa's point right at the very beginning when she asked, what about the Talmudic saying that a person needs to be enjoy all the things he's given in this world? I think that's actually referring to somebody who's already merited to purify his vessel, okay, and now he's totally able to totally fulfill and enjoy everything that his creator is giving to him, and he lives a life of joy and great tranquility, on which is said the intention of creation is said to give pleasure to the created beings, which is the most happy life in this world and in the world to come. Tahainu ha'chayim ha'musharim biyote ba'olam hazeh u'ba'olam haba. Okay. I actually do know people who live like this. I know a couple of people here in Tzfat who actually live like this. And it's just incredible merit to be in their company and to learn from them. People who are constantly giving thanks, who are constantly happy, who are constantly not worried about what's going to be tomorrow or what's going to be in another year, but totally living in the moment with God and blessing him for his abundance. And I do know people like that here in Tzfat, ordinary people. And I'm just like in awe and grateful that they've come into my circle. I also feel how very far away I am from all of this. I mean, it's we've all got our ups and downs. We've all got our positives and our negatives. And think that the we can under I can understand it in the text, but to bring it right down into my kishkas, I need a lot of help from God to do it. And I think that's also Rabbi Ashlag talks about this. Rabbi Baruch Ashlag talks about this. He talks about basically using tactics to find that point within ourselves of difficulty and be very honest with ourselves and be aware. And you know, if we're going to be helped by yoga, or if we're going to be helped by meditation, or if we're going to be helped by journal writing, whatever tactic or mindfulness, whatever tactic we need at that moment to help us is a useful tactic. He was not at all against people using whatever was available to help them shift from the preoccupation with the will to receive from self alone to the, in the way of Torah, to coming to the desire for Torah and mitzvot in a true sense. And he was very much in favor that people used whatever God gave to hand, whatever we're drawn to using. Everybody, of course, is different in this respect. He actually used to do physical exercises in the Yarkon Park, or he used to swim in the sea every day. He used to find physical exercise extremely helpful. So whatever it is, you know, whether it's Tai Chi or whatever, everybody's got their ways to try to work on these issues, and everybody's got their own sticking points. And whatever is, you know, everybody's vessels are different. So whatever people find that helps them is what's valid and good.
When you say he slept in he swam in the sea, did you mean the Sea of Galilee or the
No, he lived in Tel Aviv. Walking, yes. Lisa says walking. Yes, I find walking very, very helpful too. Yeah, absolutely. I find walking very, very helpful. Yeah, everybody, you know, everybody's got their particular thing that helps them. And because we need, you know, to look and see where I'm stuck, where I've still got attractions to this will to receive for itself alone, in the physical, in the mental, in the emotional, in the spiritual, and where I'm stuck there. And to be honest with ourselves and say, God, I'm stuck, and to ask God for his help and to use whatever God sends us to help us with it. Okay? And not be, you know, yes, we've got wills to receive for ourselves alone, and we do feel shame from it. And I think to just allow ourselves to feel the discomfort of the feelings, but not get caught up in the feelings of shame. And to know that God's on our side and is trying to help us. Okay. And so that we come eventually to this great vision of love, which I think is incredible. If anybody wants, you know, I always say, you know, can put this up on your fridge, and it's in a way it's worth remembering where we can get to, and it's like a focusing on the goal can also be helpful because it reminds us we've got something wonderful to look forward to. Okay, it's not just drudgery, it's something wonderful to connect with, that we become beloved of God and we're beloved of other people, and we love other people and we love God. And to be able to do those things is an incredible thing. Okay. All right then. So next week, Bezot Hashem, we'll be starting on a new topic, which we'll start here. It's ways in which the Torah is acquired. Okay. Just making myself a note. It's be on page 25. Ah, Jody says gardening. Absolutely.
Yedida, where can I find it in the Hakdamot? This is Dina.
Oh, right. Let me see. I'll have to look that up for you, sweetheart. I didn't put that for some reason. I didn't put the numbers in. You see what I did with Kinyan Torah.
You even tell me just the.
Yeah, I know.
Title I have.
Well, I made my own titles because this was long before I did this long before Rabbi Gottlieb bought out his books.
Okay.
I
can look it up on the website too.
Yeah. I guess. Look, I can. I just don't have the book up here with me. Tidying up for Pesach, all the books went downstairs.
Yeah, no problem.
I'll look it up and I'll let you know.
Okay, great.
What happened was, how did I get to this? Was did I tell you this story? I was sitting one summer in the tourist information in Sfat. In Livnot and Libanot. And mm-hmm. I noticed that there were two types of people were coming in to look around the galleries. One type of people was the secular people coming also from America and also from everywhere. And they were only interested in Kabbalah. They were interested in Kabbalah. But they had no idea at all that Kabbalah was in any way connected with the rest of the Torah. They had no idea whatsoever. And so they would go around Sfat and look at all these pictures and say, okay, wonderful, I've done Kabbalah. I've spent 2 hours on Kabbalah. What next? I'm not joking. This was actually what happened. And then you'd have the other people who would come into Sfat, also as tourists, and these were the Haredi people. And they would not. They would say, if you would show them the books on Rabbi Ashlag, they would say, "Oh no! That's forbidden. That's Kabbalah. That's forbidden." And they would be interested in the shuls and in the graves of the tzaddikim, but they would absolutely have no idea either that Kabbalah was part of Torah either. So you've got these two huge groups of people in Judaism. Who have no idea of the intimate connection between Kabbalah and Torah. And round about that time, I was studying this introduction, and it suddenly struck me how the connection with Pirkei Avot, particularly, especially the last chapter, Pirkei Avot, and this introduction of Rabbi Ashlag was so intimate. So I began.
Is that the 48 ways?
We're going to find the 48 ways that Torah is acquired. There's all sorts of intimate connections with the Talmud, with the Mishnah, with the Midrash, with the Pirkei Avot, which you see in Rabbi Ashlag's writing. Actually, the more you study Rabbi Ashlag, you see how connected he is with everything in all the Torah. But this was what I was doing at the time. So I began to take this introduction and see if we couldn't somehow see more clearly, if we could show how these how the Torah and Rabbi Ashlag was intimately connected, how the Kabbalah was an integral part of Torah. Because although Rabbi Ashlag says so, it's one thing just having somebody tell you, it's another thing actually seeing it. So
right.
So what I had the merit of doing was to spend time finding these references from Pirkei Avot and the Talmud and the Tosafot and wherever, and bringing them into the text so that we can read the same ideas in the Gemara or in the Midrash And in Rabbi Ashley, I can see that intimate connection for ourselves and realize.
Ah, wonderful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. what a whole thing it really is. And that's how I did this. It was long before Rabbi Gottlieb actually brought out his texts.
Mm, I see. Okay.
I mean, I expect he was working on them or whatever, but it took me a very long time. And then I got involved with translating the biography of Rabbi Ashlag, so this all got on the back burner. Mm-hmm. So it got kind of like just got pushed aside. I haven't finished, in fact, the whole introduction, but the first half of it is actually one half which is can be learnt on its own. It was originally two introductions which were pasted together afterwards. So the first half, it is something that stands on its own, and that's what we're learning now. So we're learning. So Kinyan Torah, the pages that I send you, is not just the introduction; it's the introduction to the Ten Sefirot plus all sorts of extra bits from the Torah.
Okay, because I've been trying to find it.
Right.
Did you send it on the email?
I sent it a while ago.
Okay.
But I can find it again for you. When I send it, just download it into your computer and, you know, just stick it there somewhere.
Okay.
Okay. Well, yours is B. What's your BJ?
It's Best DJ, B-E-S-T, DJ.
Okay.
Okay, I do have recorded classes.
Great. Ah, Lisa.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and I see the list of recorded classes.
Great.
Okay, but I don't see kind of next week's.
Ah, okay. Beseda. So I'll send it. Does anybody else need the material? Lisa got it.
I would love it if you would resend it to me, and then I'll save it in notes, and then I'll be able to reference it easily. Amy,
sure, fine, lovely.
Okay, what I see here is that you have through sort of Seder night. You sort of have.
Yeah, there was also Seder night in the middle and things. Yes.
Yeah, and I see that the love of God for us on Seder night, but I sort of don't see anything beyond April 5th.
What?
So I'm looking at your recorded classes where you said scroll down till you find your group.
Yeah, let me just
so
find
I see my group.
Okay.
But the most recent thing is April 5th, the love of God for us on Seder night.
It might have been in a bit of a muddle. Let's see. Nahor School recorded classes. Okay, let me see what we've got. There's a whole list for Elena, Amy, Diane.
Yes.
Dan's not with us. Mia. Okay, that one. You just look in the list there. I mean, you've got... okay, so it went in a bit of a muddle. So March the 1st, March the 8th,
yeah,
March the 15th.
That.
All of those, meaning of Seder night, all of those are classes that we've done.
Yes, yes. I see. But I'm looking for like next week, so I don't see anything past April.
Ah, no.
April.
Next week we haven't done yet.
No, I understand. I see. You're putting them up after you've... Them.
Yeah.
Okay. I got it.
Because I have to take the recording from today, okay, and I have to upload the recording and make a link for it.
Oh, I understand. Okay, so that's for whatever I missed. But where would I find the materials to prepare?
I'll send that on the email.
Great. Okay. Terrific.
Great. All right, sweetheart.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, wonderful. Good to be with everybody again.
You too. Thank you. Kol tov.
Kol tov. All right.
Bye.
Bye then. Anybody else issues, problems, materials? Everybody else okay?
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about setting up a PayPal account. And, you know, because I think I owe you some money. This is Amy.
Sure. Okay, Amy, fine.
And the other thing is I'm thinking about moving, and I'm hoping that the place two will have a strong enough connection to be able to maintain the class?
If you don't have a strong enough connection, you're always very welcome to come up here and study here with me. You know, just sit next to me. That's a possibility.
Okay.
Or you can, or see if you've got. And see if you've got what am I going to say, or a neighbor or somebody where you've got, or somebody else that you know, or where you can go with a connection who might be living nearby. Where are you going to be moving to?
I'm thinking about moving to the apartment above Tova Weingart.
Okay, somewhere right in the Jewish quarter.
Right near Mashiach's Alley.
Oh, I know. No, usually the internet connections there are not very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that might be an issue.
Yeah, well, I was just in the apartment, and if I sit in a certain spot near the dining room table, I may be able to do it, but you know, well, we'll see. We'll see how that works out.
Okay. Whatever. I mean, you have to be. Yeah, you have to be aware that in those apartments there is a problem with the internet connections. Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, that might make an effect not just for this class, might make an effect for your life in general.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So that's something that you probably want to think about.
Uh huh. And how can we work out this PayPal thing? I don't know how to do that.
If you want to meet, hold on, let me just, I'll say bye to Lisa.
I think she's hung up. I'm not sure.
No, she hasn't. So, okay. Amy, can I talk about this separately with you?
Sure.
Okay, very good. All right. I'll say goodbye then.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye, love. Bye. Lisa, my love, I think you're there still. How much do I owe you? May I send a check for month's lessons? Yes, I'll be totally grateful. I'll have to figure it out. I can't remember anything off by heart. I'm still weaning off these anti-anxiety tablets that they gave me, and my memory is pretty terrible. So I'll have to look it up. Okay? Yes, and I would be grateful. Lovely. Okay, I'll let you know. Thanks, sweetheart. Okay, bye then.